We're told by the Medrash that Korach is resentful. He feels that he's been slighted. He should have a high position amongst the Jewish people. Korach is from Levi, and he was basically irate that Moshe had not given him a prominent position. Korach said, "My mazel indicates that I am born for greatness." He says, "For what reason did my father Yitzhar, called, which means oil, why was he called that? Because his father had to have foreseen that just as oil floats to the top, father would produce superior children who would rise to the top of the Jewish people." Now, let's think. I'm the Bechor of all these guys. So, shouldn't it be me? And the Medrash tells us, yes, Korach did have superior qualities, which few people could equal. He was from an illustrious Yichus. Kehas and his family, B'nai Kehas, was the most important of the Levium families. Korach was the first cousin of Moshe and Aaron. He had been chosen to be one of those people who had the privilege of carrying the Aron HaKodesh. And as many others in Jewish history have been, he was highly intelligent, highly learned. But as we see often, that's not a preclusion from erring. And he had Ruach HaKodesh that he saw that Shmuel HaNavi, right, and 14 groups of Levim who would have prophecy and Ruach HaKodesh would emanate from him, great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Korach said to himself, "Self, I'm destined to be a source of greatness. How could Moshe Rabbeinu ignore my relevance and not give me the rank I deserve?" And so great was this desire for recognition that he ended up getting together a successful revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu. Successful in that he got a number of dissatisfied individuals together. What he failed to realize, in the Medrash says, is he didn't know that indeed it was not going to be the descendants of he himself, because he was going down into the deep. It was his sons who would later do tshuva and, right, would become students of Moshe Rabbeinu, who produced the illustrious later generations. We're also told that Korach felt that because he was exceedingly wealthy, he felt God had given him this gift to basically, I guess, it maybe improve the lives, but have a position that he could use it. But he really felt that Moshe treated him in a much very underwhelming manner. The Medrash says Korach was an aberration. Other members of Levi did not have wealth. They had never received gold or silver from Mitzrayim because they weren't enslaved. The Levim never worked for the Egyptians. They learned. They studied all the time. At Yam Suf, the Levim did not take from the spoils because they did not attach value to these worldly objects coming up from the sea. They appreciated the greatness, the amount of Kedusha and Nevius that was given at Sinai, and this was like, you know, bobbins at best. Their only interest was to be a vote of the Hashem, to learn whatever Torah they had. And it says, throughout the 40-year journey, they didn't worry about means. They basically spent their time learning, doing Avoda, and letting HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them what they needed. Korach was an exception. He had an insatiable desire for money. He had become a treasurer for Paroi in Mitzrayim. And he hoped even that the Jews wouldn't leave Mitzrayim after the redemption, but well, what happened is they would basically become the ruling class of Egypt. And he, as a treasurer, would end up having personal ownership of a lot of the treasure. And we're told, I think it's a Gemara, Bederek Adam Holech Ba, in the manner in which a person goes, where he puts his efforts, by lichin, I say. If a person is hell-bent on doing wrong, somehow it's almost as if Shamayim helps him. On the other hand, if someone is totally devoted to mitzvot, they get a shkacha pratis in accomplishing them. And it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Korach to find part of the treasure that Yosef HaTzadik had hidden. And Korach obviously didn't turn it into the Egyptian treasury. It became his personal wealth. And we're told this wealth was a means which he utilized to rebel against Torah, and therefore he was punished midah keneged midah, measure for measure, because when he was sent down into the earthquake, into the earth alive, all of his possessions went with him. And then we're told, in spite of his many distinctions, in spite of all his, I guess, hubris, Korach would never have dared to go against Moshe. In other words, he wasn't at that level of brazenness. However, his wife stirred him up. Korach's wife inflated his ego and told him, you are the equivalent of Moshe Va'aron. And it says, to his misfortune, he listened to the wrong person, his wife. It says, the Medrash brings, there were two extremely wealthy people, one Jew and one non-Jew, who listened to their wives. They were destroyed and lost their fortunes. Korach was a Jew, and Haman was a non-Jew. When his wife said, "Build the gallows 50 feet high for Mordechai," as it says, he was preparing it for himself. Korach's pride was wounded. Moshe had ignored his greatness, didn't even see it. And he hadn't given him one of the positions, the leading positions after Kohen Gadol. And Chazal says this is what was going through Korach's mind. Moshe should have made me the Nasi, the prince, the leader of Kohath. I was the one to be chosen. I am the firstborn of Kahath's second son, Yitzhak. Instead, he went to my younger cousin, Elitzafan ben Uziah, and he gave him that covenant. Kahath had four sons, Amram, Yitzhak, Hever, and Uziel. Amram, the Bechor, his two sons, Moshe and Aaron, are the Melech, the king, the Navi, and the Kohen Gadol. Amram's grandson, Elazar, was made a Kohen, not me. I'm definitely on his part. He says, "I cannot fathom in the depths of my mind how the Rabbeinu Shloim gave Moshe the commandment, so to speak, to give the kibudim, the offices, the position so unjustly. This had to be Moshe's own doing. He wanted to deliberately snub me." Korach, who was wise, it says, lost his wisdom and became unreasonable, because what drove him was a desire for money, glory, and he was consumed with the envy of those who he considered either his equal or lesser than him, and who had higher positions, right, so to speak. And it says his conclusion that Moshe was into nepotism only and wasn't listening to Hashem made him an apikoiris. We're told that an apikoiris has to be someone who knows how to learn. A tippish, or, you know, or someone foolish who espouses heresy is nothing but a moron, not an apikoiris. Korach earned for himself a classification, one who scorned the Rabbeinu Shloim's word. And he went out on a limb so far as to say that Moshe invented mitzvot. They were not God-given. And it says, unfortunately, Korach's envy burned in his heart for a long, long time. He and his wife would talk about this frequently, and she would continue to stir him up, and he would get stirred up. One of the times this happened was when he came back from the ceremony that Hashem said should be done to all the Levim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said all hair had to be removed from their bodies. Right? And then they had to be waved by Aaron HaKohen. He came back and his wife said, "Who are you? Who is this bald, ugly human being?" He said, "Moshe did this. Moreover, first I had to be waved up and down by Moshe and Aaron. Moshe told me, now I'm pure and now I'm able to become a Levi." Korach mocked the very procedure, the various commandments that Hashem had given to make the Levim Kadosh. He said, "I don't feel pure after this." And indeed, he didn't want to be, so he could have never felt anything. He had this tremendous desire to rebel and to blaspheme mitzvot. It says Torah is an elixir, a positive input for those who are seeking to get close to Hashem, but it's a samovar, it's dangerous, poisonous, deadly for those who want to defile themselves. Korach's wife said, "You jackass." In effect, Moshe hates you, and you let him make you look like a village idiot. He said, "Moshe did that to his own kids, too." She said, no, you don't understand. To get you riled, he would have done it to himself had he would have thought it would make a difference. Korach went on a rant. And he began to incite people against Moshe. And he gained, it says initially, a few followers. He still wasn't at a period where he could yell out and challenge Moshe, because he knew Moshe still had the support of the vast number of Jewish people. So he bid his time. Now, look what had happened. When things started going downhill in Bahalosva, many people had lost their lives. It had happened in the story with the quail, right? It happened when the people decided they lusted for lust. And then the coup de grace was when the spies came back, right? And Moshe said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep the Jewish people in the desert for 40 years. And in Korach's view, Moshe didn't do what he did at Har Sinai. He didn't fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rescind this terrible decree. Now Korach believed Moshe was on a downspin. Moshe had proved he was no longer the superhuman being who could protect and lead Klal Yisroel. And he was waiting for a great question or something to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, with Torah. In other words, I don't challenge you, but you didn't treat me like the great person I am. And one day, he continued to go, it says, to the Beis Medrash, where Halacha was being learned. And that day, they learned the halacha of Tzelus. The blue dyed stitches the one string. And his wife said, "So, what's new today?" And he said, "We learned about Techeles." And she said, "Maze, what is it?" And he said, "Moshe said, we have to make tzitzis. We're going to have three long strands that are white, one that's dyed into Techeles. We're going to double them over, right? And we're going to have this. And this will come, this blue comes from the dye of the Chalazim, that animal, that creature." And Korach's wife says, another one of Moshe's silly laws. She says, "I got an idea. Why should only one string of Techeles exist? Isn't more the merrier? Therefore, I got a good idea. Here's how you can challenge Moshe Rabbeinu. I want you to take Techeles. I want a full beged, the full, right, garment, and all the strings to be completely white. And I want you to parade in front of the people with this and say to Moshe Rabbeinu, look what I got. I've got a totally techeles beged. Do I have to have still a string of techeles?" And obviously, he couldn't have cared less. This was an attempt, basically, to disparage Moshe Rabbeinu and the halacha that he taught. Okay, we're going to pick up from here, Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow, and try to see what goes on. And have a lovely day. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Go to it.